All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and turn to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 15. Colossians 1, verse 15. While you're turning there, you know, there's one question in life you must get right. One question in life you must get right. It's not where are we going to go eat after church today. It's not even who you're going to marry one day. It's not even, is a hot dog a sandwich? Now, I just threw some of you off there because you're going to be thinking about that the whole sermon. The one question that you must get right is, who is Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus? This morning, I want us to read Colossians 1, chapter 1, verses 15. We're going to read down to verses 18, but Paul tells us this is the resume of Jesus, who Jesus is. I know you just sat down, but would you mind, if you can, standing with me as we read this passage together? Colossians 1, 15 through 18. He is, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent, or supreme would be the word that some translations use. As you're sitting down, look to your neighbor and say, Jesus is supreme. Father, I pray this morning that we will be reminded, that we will be refreshed. I pray this morning that there may be some in this room who are rescued today by understanding and learning that Jesus is supreme. Amen. Since Jesus is supreme, we should concentrate on him. Since he's supreme, he should have first place in our life. He should have first place in everything. That's why this year of 2023, we are going to begin by concentrating on Jesus. That's going to be our theme for this year, if you will. It's going to kind of pretty much push us into everything that we do this year as a church. And I want to promise you as your pastor that this year, amidst all of the changes that are taking place in my life, amidst all of the newness, amidst all of the unknowns and uncertainties that I'm facing this year, I promise to you that I will spend my time concentrating on Jesus. And I want to ask you to do the same for me. I want to ask you this year to make that same promise, that I'm going to concentrate my life on Jesus Christ this year. We'll do it all together. Hey, I want to give you a little bit of background to Colossians before we really go in and dive into this passage of Scripture. You know, Paul is writing to Christians in Colossae, and if you have your outline with you, you can write this down. He's writing to Christians who are confused about Jesus. Christians who are confused about Jesus. Now, back then, they dealt with a very specific confusion called Gnosticism, is what they were dealing with. I'm not going to go into a big, long explanation of Gnosticism. That would take too much time. But I'm just going to kind of give you a little paraphrase of what it was doing to the church. Gnosticism was their attempt to relegate Jesus to a subordinate role instead of giving him the supremacy that he really deserved. See, Gnosticism was making Jesus less than who he really is. There's forms of Gnosticism that still prevail today in our churches. There's forms of Gnosticism that are ease their way into churches when we don't give Jesus the supreme place that he deserves. So let's make it personal. If you catch your outline, write this down. What we do today is instead of filling our life with Jesus, we make him a topping to our life. Instead of our lives being full of him, we give him a secondary role in our life that's just more like a topping. For example, we call some things today, we call them supreme. Now, one of my favorite restaurants, don't judge me too hard, is Taco Bell. I got a few yes, I see. Anyone under 10 just got excited. I love Taco Bell. I guess it's left over from some of my bad habits from college. But I've always enjoyed Taco Bell. Now, Taco Bell, they make things supreme. So you can go to Taco Bell and you can get an ordinary taco, or you can get a supreme taco. You can get an ordinary burrito, or you can make it a supreme burrito. You can get some ordinary nachos, or you can get some nachos supreme. Now, just letting you know, this is insider information from a Taco Bell lover. All they do to make any of those items supreme is top it off with some sour cream and some diced tomatoes. That's it. That's all it takes to make a taco supreme, a burrito supreme, or a nacho supreme. Either way, I love it no matter how it comes. But here's the point. A lot of times what we do with Jesus is we make Jesus the sour cream and we make Jesus the diced tomatoes of our life. All we do is try to add in a little Jesus to make everything better. We sometimes say this in our language, which I hope I'm not offending you when I say this, because it's just the language that we use in church. Sometimes we use it in church. We say, man, I just need to go to church this week to get my Jesus fix. Or I just need to go to church this week to get a little pick-me-up. Really what we're saying there is I have my life that I live, and I just need to go to church to put a little topping. I need a little Jesus to be the little whipped cream on top of my Sunday. I need Jesus to be that nice little country gravy that goes on top of my biscuit. I'm sorry, I'm making y'all real hungry. But you see, the same kind of Gnosticism that the church of Colossae was facing, the same can happen here with us. When we relegate Jesus to a less than subordinate role that he deserves. You know, Paul combats this in the very first verses of Colossians. So if you got your finger still on Colossians 1, on Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 1 with me. Paul begins right out of the bat combating this heresy. He says in verse 1, Paul, an apostle. The word apostle, that's not some leader in the church given a title. The word apostle means someone who is sent out, someone who goes. And he says, an apostle of Christ Jesus. He's simply saying, I am one who is sent out for Jesus Christ by the will of God and Timothy, our brother. So Paul starts off immediately saying, listen, let me tell you who I am. I'm one who is sent out by Jesus Christ for the sake of Jesus Christ. I'm sent out for the gospel. And then he says, by the will of God. He's simply saying this. This wasn't his decision. This wasn't his choice. He's simply surrendering to what God has called him to do. He's surrendering to live however God calls him. Says, I'm called to go out in the name. Saying about Jesus, he's not just giving us Jesus' resume as someone that he doesn't really know, as someone who hasn't experienced Jesus Christ. He's given us his resume from a life that was lived in submission to God's will and God's way. And he's saying, I've been sent out because I have sent been sent by God. Paul comes in a position of being bowed down, comes in a position of writing this letter, and he says, listen, I want you to know right off the bat, I'm taking my orders from God. And so should we. Look at this second verse. He says, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Calls them faithful believers. He says here that faithful believers, and I think there's the distinction there between your believers who just make Jesus a topping on their life and your believers who are living in Christ, those faithful believers. He says those believers have a dual address. The first address he gives is their permanent address. A faithful believer's permanent address is in Christ. Their second address that he gives is their temporary address, and that's their location of where they live. If somebody came to me right now and said, Pastor Brad, where do you live? I'm confused. Somewhat. I'm so thankful for Pat and Karen Biglang allowing us to stay at their lake house for a little while. What a blessing that's been for us to be able to stay there. But if someone came to me and honestly, if we were looking in the spiritual way and says, where do you live? My first response should be, I live in Christ. That's my permanent address. That's my permanent identity. That's my permanent location. That means it doesn't matter if I go from Houghton to Shreveport to Alexandria to Lake Charles to New Orleans to Baton Rouge to Vidalia, Louisiana. I live in Christ. That never changes. And I want you to know, church, that should be every one of us as faithful believers. Our permanent address. We live in Christ. That's our home. That's my safety. That's my security. That's where my hope is and my direction is and my purpose is. That's where I get the orders that God gives me for my future is when I am living in Christ. Now, I live at Vidalia, Louisiana. But that doesn't mean that this has to be your permanent place to live. So why should we concentrate on Jesus? You know, if I haven't convinced you already, let's look at these verses together. Why should Jesus be more than sour cream and tomatoes? Let's look at verse 15 again. Let's walk through this together. Number one on your outline, Jesus is the supreme creation. Capital T, capital H, capital E. He is the supreme creation. Jesus is not a creation. He is the supreme creation. Look what it says in verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Did you get this? He is the image of God. We are created in the image of God, but Jesus is the image of God. I'll never forget one summer camp pastor would always say it this way, Jesus is God in a bod. Easy way to describe it. He is the image of God. He's the firstborn of all creation. Here's what that simply means. He gets the greatest honor as the firstborn, the highest. So we, as Christians, should live in Christ. And when we do live in Him, when our address is in Him, our relationship with God is fully satisfied. And only when your permanent address is in Jesus Christ will you truly discover what your identity is, what your purpose is, and you will discover why God created human beings. And if you have any question about what your identity and your purpose and your destiny should be, write this down. I'm going to give it to you in one sentence. Your destiny is to be made in the image of God. That's it. Your destiny is to be made in the image of Christ. Martin Luther said it this way. For nothing counts with God except for his Son, Jesus Christ, who is completely pure and holy before him. Listen to this. Where he is, there God looks and has his pleasure. Only in that which is being made in the image of Christ. God finds pleasure with those who live in Christ. So I'm going to say it a little more firm, because I don't want you to be deceived. I don't want you to miss this. I don't want this to be church light. I want to give you the truths of God's word. God is not pleased with anything that is outside of living in Christ. See, the reality of it is, if God set it up this way, God sent Jesus into this world to be the image of Christ, and Jesus died on a cross so that we can be in fellowship with him, then you better believe it. God is not satisfied with anything that's living apart from Jesus Christ. So much so that he gave his own son so that we could be living in him. That's why Jesus came and said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Joseph told me about this week. He preached on this passage a while back and reminded me of this. Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Basically, did we not preach in your name? And did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do many mighty works in your name? There's a lot of churches and church people that could be described this way. He says, and then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Can I say to you this morning that Jesus is talking to people who made him a topping to their life and not the substance of their life? You see, when we make Jesus a topping of our life, we can fool a lot of people because it looks good on the outside. You know, I've met a lot of church people that are like that little crazy blow-up guy you see sometimes out in front of a business. You know what I'm talking about? It's that tube-looking guy. It looks like he's got his hands up and he's got a blower blowing him up. And I'm going to knock my mic and everything else off, and y'all can get a big laugh about it. But that little crazy blow-up guy is standing there like this, and he's okay, I'm dizzy. No, just kidding. You know what I'm talking about now? A lot of people in church are like that crazy blow-up guy. They look really good. They got their hands up. They're praising. They're worshiping. They even got a big smile on their face. They're very attractive to people, and people like to be attracted to them. But that crazy blow-up guy's not going anywhere. Just like many Christians today, we look good on the outside. Boy, but what a shame when Jesus says, I never knew you. Yeah, you called me Lord. Yeah, you preached. Yeah, you taught. Yeah, you went on mission trips. Yeah, you did some mighty works. But you didn't go with me. You weren't sent out in my name. You didn't surrender to God's will. Too many defeated Christians are living this way. Look great on a Sunday and on a Wednesday, but are you going anywhere? I want you to have the chance to go somewhere in 2023. And that's why I thank Pastor Nelson for making that announcement. Right off the bat in 2023, we're going to have what's called Missions Weekend 2023, January the 28th and 29th. That's a Saturday and a Sunday. We're going to have an IMB missionary, Brian Pistotnik. He's going to be here with us to give us some teaching, to give us some training. He's going to be working with the missions team of First Baptist Church Vidalia to give us some vision and some direction for 2023. But he's also offering on that Saturday, we're going to have an offering here. We have a brunch together, And we're going to have anyone in the church that wants to come and wants to say, you know what? I want to find out what God's will is for my life in 2023. I want to surrender to whatever God would have for me, and I want to be a part of whatever our church is going to do in missions for this year. I want to get on board, and I want to be a part of that. We're also going to have an opportunity. You're going to learn about some mission opportunities that are coming up, some trips that we already have planned, and also some new things that we'll have going on here. And then we're going to close out that weekend. Brian's going to be preaching that Sunday morning during our worship service. So I want you to mark that down on your calendar. There's more details coming. I'm meeting with the missions team tonight, and we're going to detail out that weekend even more. Next week, I'll bring you back some more stuff. But you mark it down, January the 28th, 29th. Don't miss that opportunity. You see, like Paul, when our address is in Christ, we are sent out to enjoy supreme living. And as your pastor, I want to make sure you have every opportunity to enjoy that kind of life. Number two on your outline, Jesus is not only the supreme creation, but Jesus is supreme over creation. Look at verse 16 and 17 again. It says, "For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority, all things." Everybody say, all things. "Were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." I don't think he left anything out, did he? He said all things over and over again. He is supreme over heaven, earth, visible, invisible, thrones, rulers, powers, authority, all things. Every created thing depends on something that was created before it to exist, except for Jesus. He's the only one. It's not dependent on anything else. You know, that's why last week, if you were here, I closed our message and read to you Romans chapter 8, and it's talking about there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Absolutely nothing. That God is in control of all things. He's over all things, so nothing can keep him from rescuing you. Absolutely nothing. All creation responds to Jesus. Even today, Jesus Christ so enjoyed creating you, but he died to recreate you. He died to give you a new birth. He so enjoys creating and creating humans that he created you the first time physically, but he wants to create you again with a new heart. Spiritually. That's why Jesus tells them very plainly in John 3:3. He says, "I say to you, unless one is born again, reborn, he cannot see the kingdom of God." When you truly surrender your life to the saving power of Jesus Christ, he does not just rearrange your life. He doesn't just reprioritize your life. It's not just like he's a topping to your life. No, he gives you a new life. And that new life that he gives you is with his spirit, his presence in you. And then what does he say? You come walk with me. Because a life with Jesus as the supreme ruler is not just a topping. It's the supreme life, the true supreme life. When you live in Christ, the creative powers of Jesus Christ are unleashed in your life. It's amazing to me that some of the most significant accomplishments on the face of this earth happened by believers who lived in Jesus Christ, because the Creator now becomes in you. He now transforms your mind. He now transforms your emotions. He now transforms you in order to live the way he created you to live. And that's why the Bible says that's the most abundant life you can imagine, is when he begins to live in you. So I'm going to tell you this. I just tell you kind of bluntly, okay? If you're bored with God, if you're bored with church, if you're bored with praying, if you're bored with reading your Bible, it's your fault. I know that's not our culture. Our culture always finds somebody to blame. In our culture, we're always looking for somebody else's fault. It's the preacher's fault. It's the deacon's fault. It's the Sunday school teacher's fault. It's the church's fault. But no, if you're bored with God, it's your fault. It really is. There's no one else to blame. That means Jesus is not supreme over you. If you're bored with God in church and praying in the Bible, it's because it's only a topping to your life that you're just trying to sprinkle on everything that you're doing yourself. And you haven't surrendered to Jesus yet. Do you know in all of creation, humans are the only ones that get to choose whether or not Jesus is supreme over your life? All the rest of creation submits to the supremacy of Jesus Christ. We're the only ones that get a choice. But I want you to know we only get a choice for a short time. Because eventually, the Bible says every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is supreme. My question to you today is, you have the choice to do that today. Make him supreme over your life. Number three, Jesus is supreme over the church. Look at verse 18, the first part of it. It says, and he is the head of the body, the church. Just as the universe is the creation of Christ, the church is the new creation of Christ. The church was created with the privilege to be the instrument through which Christ works. The church is not a building. It's not an institution. The church is the people. It's the body who come together. Just like a groom gives his heart to this bride, Jesus says, I give my heart to the church. We are his bride. He gives us his loyalty. He gives us his unconditional love. Man, that's so good for me. Because I know how bad I can mess things up. I know on my best days, I won't be the kind of pastor that everyone in this room wants to have here. But do you know I'll have to stand on the fact that Jesus is supreme over this church, not me, and not any one of you either. And so I live my life. And I have to live under the direction of the supremacy of Christ. And knowing this, that no matter if we mess up, no matter if we hurt each other's feelings, no matter how often we fall short of being what God really wants us to be, we are his bride, and he unconditionally loves us and forgives us. That's why I still hang around this church 46 years, not just this church, but I'm talking about the church and being a part of a church as the bride of Christ. You know, but also what he asked the church to do is to submit. You know, the church, we're here to take orders from Jesus. And so in a very practical way, did you walk into church today saying, Jesus, I'm ready to take orders from you? Or did you walk into today saying, I'm ready to start giving out and barking out some orders to people? Or maybe you came in here today and you're just neutral. You don't really know who to give orders to or take orders from. Hey, I want you to know, as the church, when we come in to worship, we need to come in with a mindset as I'm here to take orders from Jesus. Let me tell you the very most practical way that we do that is by bowing down. You know, when you come into the presence of the king or the presence of supremacy, and you bow down. You show that kind of honor. And so one of the most significant ways in a church that a church should show that Jesus Christ is supreme is by kneeling, by bowing down. You know, we've got these kneeling benches on both sides of the stage, and these steps, we turn these steps into an altar where we come and we bow down. I think we should use those. I think very significantly, when we come into this place, we come and we say in a very humble way, Jesus, the most humble thing I can do today is take orders from you. I submit to you. I want to receive what you have for me today. I think we ought to be using this space. That's why when our invitation times come, I'm going to offer you the opportunity to come. But don't get me wrong. You don't have to have me offer an invitation for you to come anytime in this worship service. You can come and kneel and pray and show that you are submitted to the supremacy of Christ. You know, coming to the front is, some would say, that's a walk of shame, especially if you got to come from way up there in the balcony. What a walk of shame to have to come all the way down here and kneel down in front of people. No, that's not a walk of shame. That's a walk of surrender. And let me tell you what, church, that should be the greatest and highest honor that we have on a Sunday morning, is to be able to remove ourselves from these pews and come and take a place of surrender before our King who is supreme over all. When you neglect to be a vital member of the local church, you are rejecting the supremacy of Christ. And as a vital member of our church, we would expect you to give of your tithes, but way more than your tithes. We expect you to give of your time. We expect you to give of your talents. We expect to give of your treasures. And I hear people say, well, man, I'm a Christian and I'm growing in my faith, but I don't go to church. Jesus is just a topping on your life. Because if you are going to submit to Jesus Christ and the supremacy of Christ, you're also going to submit to being a part of his bride and having a relationship with his bride. Number four, Jesus is supreme over the resurrection. Jesus is supreme over the resurrection. Look at the end of verse 18. It says, he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be supreme. Jesus is not a dead hero. He is not a past founder of this church. Jesus is the living presence that gives life to our church. And Jesus is coming back. And you know what he's coming back to do? He's coming back to resurrect his bride. So I want you to know, from creation to the very end, from start to finish, Jesus is supreme. So why do we need to concentrate on him in 2023? I hope today helps you understand. If he's supreme, then we live in him. We give him all that we have, so we should concentrate on him. I want to give you a closing, three questions to ask this morning. The first two we're going to answer with scripture, so keep your Bibles open to Colossians. First question, why did God make Jesus supreme? Look at verse 19. This is why he made him supreme. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you and me, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of the flesh by his death. Here it is. Here's why. In order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach for him. Why is Jesus supreme? Because of you. Number two, how do I make Jesus supreme? Look at chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. I love when Scripture answers the questions for us. He doesn't need me. God's Word tells us. Look at verse 6. This is, how do I make Jesus supreme? Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord. You know, the Bible over and over talks about God sent Jesus as a gift to us. And as a gift is a two-way exchange. So the giver can offer a gift, but the receiver must take it and receive it. And so here it says, look, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, that is when you say, I know the gift of God is Jesus Christ. I know he died on the cross for my sins. I know he wants to come and be a part of my life and wants me to live in him. So yes, Lord, I receive the gift of Jesus Christ. Someone say, well, is that a works-based salvation? Absolutely not. That is simply saying, yes, I receive you into my heart and into my life. But then what does it say? So walk in him. Once you've received him in your heart, in your life, and he's forgiven you of your sins, now you begin to walk in him. And what does it say is going to happen? You're going to be rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. That means no longer are you going to be bumped around by all this wishy-washy kind of thinking and emotional experiences of being a Christian. Now you're rooted and grounded and established. Why? Because Jesus is no longer a little topping on your life. You are living your life in him. And let me tell you what, those words right there, I could use some of that right now in my life. Amen, Leanne. I want to be rooted. I want to be established. I want to be grounded. But I'm so thankful that no matter where my temporary address is, I know permanently where I am in him. And so no matter if my life feels disarrayed and I feel like my life is turned upside down, oh, inside there's joy in my heart. Inside there's confidence. Inside there's peace because I know where I am. The third question, are you ready to change your address? Are you ready to change your address? Are you ready to become a permanent residence in Jesus Christ? Are you ready to have that new identity? Are you ready to have that hope? Are you ready to be filled with the creative powers of Jesus Christ so that areas of your life where you feel dull, areas of your life where you feel like I just can't figure things out, all of a sudden Jesus rushes in and Jesus begins to give you direction and purpose in those areas. All of a sudden you realize there are things I never thought I could ever do in my life, but now through Jesus Christ, I'm able to do those things. For some of you in here this morning, you would be honest enough to say, I have created a mess with my life. But now I want Jesus to create in me a new life. Would you bow with me and pray? Father, I pray this morning there would be some that would be honest, truly would say, I've made a mess with my life, Lord. I've tried to make you a topping at my life here or there at times. I've done good, but then it just go back to where I was. Maybe there's some in here this morning, I pray, that would begin to live completely in Christ, permanently in him. Father, I just want us to have this invitation. This is your invitation. Lord, you invite us to come. You invite us to receive Jesus Christ, but you also invite us to come and surrender, to not play games, but know that we've come into this church to take orders. I pray we would listen. I pray that we would obey. I also pray, Father, if some are ready to come and join this church, maybe they've been attenders for some time, or maybe they're just first-time guests today and they feel the Holy Spirit leading. They would come and say, I'm ready to pray about being a part of this church, making this my family. Because we know, Lord, to make you supreme, it means that we are a vital part of a church. Well, God, there's been a lot said. There's been a lot that your word has taught us. I just pray this morning we would be obedient and respond appropriately. Pray in Jesus' name.